Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode is sponsored by Sentry.io. Recently, I came across a great tool for tracking and monitoring problems in my apps. Then I asked them if they wanted to sponsor the show and allow me to share my experience with you. Sentry provides a terrific interface for keeping track of what's going on with my app. It also tracks releases so I can tell if what I deployed makes things better or worse. They give full stack traces and as much information as possible about the situation when the error occurred to help you track down the errors. Plus, one thing I love, you can customize the context provided by Sentry. So, if you're looking for specific information about the request, you can provide it. It automatically scrubs passwords and secure information, and you can customize the scrubbing as well. Finally, it has a user feedback system built in that you can use to get information from your users. Oh, and I also love that they support open source to the point where they actually open sourced Sentry if you want to self-host it. Use the code DevChat at Sentry.io to get 2 months free on Sentry's small plan. That's code DevChat at Sentry.io.
All right, welcome to Ruby Rogues today. Today we've got Catherine.
Hi, hi.
Dave.
Hey, everyone.
Eric.
Hey!
And our special guest is Elif Lavi.
Hi there.
Except for it's not Lavi. What is it? Elif? How do you say your last name?
Lavi.
Lavi. Now we're talking.
And it's Elif.
True.
It's almost like we've gone over this twice already.
It's an interesting topic.
So today we're going to talk about other things. Dave, go ahead and take us from here.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about yourself. What are you doing? Who do you work for? And what are some of the things that you've done in the community?
Certainly. So I work for a company based in Tel Aviv and New York called Riskified, in which I'm a backend developer doing Ruby mostly and recently some Scala. I'm not trained as a developer in my past. Like I studied music as just as Catherine. Which is pretty neat.
Best club ever.
It's the best club ever.
Yeah.
Catherine is correct. So I studied how to play the lute in Jerusalem Music Academy. The lute is like an ancient mother and father of the guitar, sort of, which is very, very niche and specific. And you do like music of the times of Bach with it, like classical music, which is very old. And I also sang and I did all sort of musical stuff. But actually I was like this nerd kid / whiz kid, like that fixed the computer for my dad and mom since like I was 4 or something. And in like the old PC that the family used to have. But then I like neglected it, went to do music and did a lot of early music and popular music and da 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 da. And then I came a full circle with landing upon a job at Riskified, which was actually like my first day job in my life, sort of. I mean, musicianship is a job, but it's like more gigs. Catherine, I see you understand me.
Yeah, it's a different type of career.
Yeah, it is. I did this for a long while, but it was kind of hard in Israel to actually make a decent living out of it. So I
think that's pretty much everywhere. Unless it's like or very pronounced.
Perhaps. Yeah, I hear that kind of complaint from musicians in the States as well and Europe as well. But we have our circumstances. So it's not a competition. Everybody everybody deserves to be poor.
All musicians.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
If you take anything away from this week's episode. No, my gosh, that is a joke. Do not take that seriously.
Yeah. Certainly not. Yeah, maybe we need to delete that one. Anyway, so I had my share of that, and I love that, and I still do that, but not as a full-time job as I used to do it in the past. And long story short, I came to Riskified as a risk analyst. What Riskified does is like guarantees that we work with merchants online that sell their stuff, like Macy's and Foot Locker and Wish. And a lot of merchants, lots of merchants that like submit their transactions to Riskified. And we like say in like real time, whether it's fraud or not, credit card fraud. And this is like a big, big thing now in e-commerce that there are a lot of competition in the field and a lot of merchants doing that in-house. So we're like the outsourced solution. We're doing pretty well. So we're like been around for 5 years and we're doing this with several big names, as I've mentioned before. And it's been going pretty well. But when I joined, it was a very small company. I think I'm like the 15th employee. And I started as a risk analyst with no experience in anything. And they just like were kind enough to take me on and give me the opportunity to just like screen transactions, whether they're fraud or not. And they taught me how to do that. And since it was a very small startup, you can like, you're getting exposed. I was getting exposed to lots of dev talk. And over the years, I was like stealing small chores from bigger devs and like saying, oh, I studied some Ruby. I can do that for you, because the company, since it started on Ruby on Rails, which was pretty neat because it was relatively easy for me to get on board with that. And after some time, I did some Ruby and JavaScript jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And after some time, I told them, guys, I kind of want to be a dev. I know I don't have the education, but I want to do that. So they were awesome and told me, yeah, no, let's do that. So I've been doing that professionally in the last year and a half, since the beginning of 2017. And we have a very neat team of like Ruby lovers and enthusiastic that like does all that. And yeah, that's about how I got to my job.
I love those types of stories. So you're completely self-taught and no school or anything. Oh, that's so impressive.
Yeah, no school or anything, and no boot camp also. We don't do that much here. We started to do that in Israel recently, but it's not like big as in the US, the boot camp thing. Mm-hmm. And I think what I did was just like a lot of blogs and books, and the Ruby community is so amazing, and like the how it lends itself to people who wish to learn. It just allows people to learn so nicely comparing to other stuff that I've tried to learn in the past, which is a huge thing, I think. So it was like just something I did. Like people accompanied me within Riskified on tasks I was doing, and I was reading books and blog posts meanwhile on the side. And yeah, and then I guess that's what happened.
That's great. That's a great note to a lot of companies. If you have someone who wants to transition into dev, support them through that, and you will reap the rewards as they are with you.
Yeah, I think it's a... It's a really cool notion to mention. Mm-hmm.
What's the developer scene like in Israel? Do you have user groups out there where you meet up and all that stuff as well? Is it a fairly popular direction for career? I'm just curious.
So, yeah, there actually are a lot of devs around here, and there are conferences constantly and newsletters and podcasts in Hebrew. And there actually are a lot of Ruby developers because Rails is like, just like in the US or the rest of the world, it's pretty big for startups, or at least used to be. Now it's in, you know, it's like the whole talk about like how people are supposedly going away from Ruby, but it's still pretty common to see Rails jobs, or not so much pure Ruby, I'd say, but Rails jobs are pretty common to find in the Israeli market, and alongside with lots of other programming languages, named mostly Java, Scala, JavaScript, lots of JavaScript, lots of front end around here. So it's pretty active. It is. I've been recently. We Riskified hosted some meetup about a Scala meetup, and it's funny because everybody in the room probably speaks Hebrew, but everything happens in English because it's just easier to talk dev in English in a way. So it creates like a funny mix. It's pretty interesting. I remember I was like, not laughing, but I found it funny in a way and cute.
I've always found it interesting when reading code, English is it seems to be the common denominator across the world, except for maybe in core Ruby, where as I understand it, quite a bit of documentation is written in Japanese. So good thing I know how to say ikanakerebanarimasen, which means I need to go to the bathroom. So if I ever find that in the docs.
I'm sure that's exactly, in the documentation a lot.
Exactly what he's talking about. It's I think it's under the eject method, right?
Oh my God.
Comedy brought to you today. Bye.
He'll be here all week, folks.
Wow. All right.
So let's talk about the project that you've been working on, which is called Time Measure.
Time Measure. What? Yeah.
Time Measure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. So I'll start with just like describing why did we need it and why did I create it? The bottom line is it's a gem that Riskified released. It's something that I worked on at Riskified for Riskified for the company. And we needed a way to measure the runtime of code, of specifically methods in the Riskified code base, in the main app that is a Rails app, as I mentioned. And we needed to have a very easy way to declare methods that we want to track the runtime in production, and not like in some neutral, non-realistic environment such as staging or playground or whatever you want to call it, and which is something that we think is very important and one of the key things in Time Measure, that it's safe to use in production. And it basically just like, it's a very easy DSL. It's a very easy code DSL. I mean, we all probably know what DSL is. It's a very easy DSL to use that you can just like say, hey, I want to track this method in this class. And voila, you have like within a certain transaction that you're working on, like some controller method that you're, some route, you say route or root? So yeah, so if you have like some route, I'll stick to route. If you have some route that is important to you, and you have methods that are time critical in that happens within that route, which is usually for us, it's not like it's big. We have like those big chunks of Ruby code that like it gets transactions and analyzes all the data within a certain transaction of a specific merchant, and it enriches the data. And there's a lot going on there. It's not just like your plain view that gets rendered easily. There's a lot of code and data sanitization and enrichment with external data sources. Lots of fun. So we wanted to know where do we spend most time? And we found out that like the obvious solution of just like starting to indent methods with curly braces and having to deploy just for that, like, sorry, I'm not sure it's very clear. Like, I'll start over. We wanted to have a very, very easy way to declare which methods are crucial for us to the runtime of those methods. And the what we came about with, the first solution we came with was just like declaring like within the body of the methods, like saying that we want to track specific code, and then you get like a lot of Git noise. You get a lot of deploys that in crucial areas that are very scary, just because you want to declare time measurement for a specific area in your code. And we wanted to create like a framework that would enable us to track code from the outside, from the top of the class or something like that. And that's essentially what we did with Time Measure. It's a very easy way for any developer that uses it, any developer in Riskified now uses it almost. And that's pretty much it. Like, it just collects the data, the runtime of every method for you easily. And yeah, that's what it is.
When you were trying to solve this problem, did you look at some gems first, other gems out there, and see what worked and what didn't? Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. So we use New Relic, which is amazing and awesome, and we love it. And New Relic actually offers something a bit similar to that. But it wasn't exactly what we wanted, because we felt that it could be better. And we started by using that, obviously, like, you don't invent the wheel, as we say. You want to use whatever out there first, and we did that. But it just, like, as much as we love New Relic, this specific method tracer, as they call it, which does pretty much exactly that, for several reasons, just like, didn't work well enough for us. And we were feeling pretty adventurous about that. And we say, oh, I think we can like take that idea and like do that even better. So that's what happened. I took the adventure, because I felt, I don't know, I kind of like this kind of stuff, like seeing something and then like trying to improve it in a respectful way. But yeah, so that's what happened.
So the data that you're gathering from your time measure, how is it stored? Does it just sort in a database, or does it log it off or ship it off to a third party so you can kind of get some graphs and dashboards? Or does it have a built-in web UI that you can kind of see a overview of your data?
That's a great question, because one of the things that was crucial to me when we developed that was to separate the concern of collecting the measurements, which needs to be very, very light, because basically Time Measure interferes within the Ruby object model upon each method call. So you want to be very, very light. It's like middleware stuff. You want to be very, very light, not to slow down anything by your very measurement. That's one aspect. And the other aspect is like what to do with all the collected measurements. So the first phase is actually just like every method call that is declared as tracked method is collected in memory, basically. And then at the end of the transaction, you get to choose what you want to do with that. And what we wanted to do with that is send it to New Relic Insights, which is just like BI tool that New Relic offers, which is awesome and very easy to work with. It looks beautiful. It has beautiful colors. It has like this query language that they came up with, which is very, very handy and very easy to use. And you can actually set up alerts from it. So like if something crucial happens and like suddenly some methods like going crazy, which is not something that we do, but you can do it. And we love it. We use it for many other things. But it's pretty like separate. Like it's the second phase of what you can do with Time Measure. And the basic thing is just like the DSL and the fact that you can easily, it's kind of hard to talk about without showing the code. But if you look at the example on GitHub, you see how much more elegant it looks than like the solution you'd come up with in 5 minutes. So if I can brag.
You can definitely brag. It looks like a really cool gem. And to have something that can go up into production like that without slowing down your app is great.
If I can comment about that, you were asking about other gems or solutions. So RubyProf is like, people like came up to me and say, why don't you use RubyProf? And I was like, RubyProf is fantastic, but it's like, I love it and I use it a lot in my development cycle, but it's just not fit for production in a way. It's like, it's pretty much, it slows your code significantly. If you like try to do that, you don't want to, as I found it, you don't want to do that. Maybe somebody else has different experience, but in my experience, it's just not what you're supposed to do with it. And measuring time in production is so different than measuring it in a neutral environment, because like your customers, our customers can do so many things and they can surprise you in so many ways that you can never mock it and come up with just like something that is remotely similar to what you're going to get in production. Like production is wild and you need to be ready for that. You need to build your solution according to that.
Yeah. I can definitely attest to that. I'm amazed by some of the input that I get from users. And I'm like, this is why you sanitize user input. So.
You got that right.
It's amazing some of the things that they try to do. But that's really cool. And that's impressive and commendable that to have such little overhead on something that is not invasive, but touches so much of the application that even, you know, a 10 millisecond call on a transaction that's maybe touching 30 methods, that'll stack up and slow things down quite a bit. So that's pretty awesome. Now, have you guys built in any kind of integrations to anything other than New Relic Insights? Because that's part of their paid portion, isn't it? Or is that part of their free tier?
That's correct. That's part of their paid portion. And actually, when I came up with the gem, I wanted to make like a demo website. And I was like, oh, I'm going to use New Relic because it's so beautiful and I love it. And then I was like, that's not free and I can't like really use it. And that kind of bummed me off. But I understand it's like that's their business. And I was looking for other solutions. And the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, let's give Google Analytics a shot. But it didn't kind of like fit. And the other service that I tried using was Keen.io, which is a very neat and similar to New Relic kind of service. It just... like it's good for demonstration purposes. It's just like not as specific and mature as New Relic, but it's pretty promising. And I had a very good experience working with that. It's just another BI service that you can like feed JSON or events data to it, and it will aggregate it and like you can visualize it and query upon it. I love this kind of stuff. Like it's always a very, very nice feeling to gather data and then like get visual about it. I love doing that.
Yeah. Suggestion for the future. If you've ever used the Sidekick gem, they have, Mike Parham has where you can mount a web portion, which is just a Rails engine that's provided by Sidekick into your file or into your routes file. and it can then launch a web interface just for that portion. So if you don't need it, or if you don't want it because you're going to use New Relic Insights or Keen.io, then you don't have to add it in there. But if you want it, then it's available. So does TimeMature have any kind of dependencies on like Redis or anything like that? Or does it just try to make that external call in line with it? Or does it kind of do it in its own separate background job?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you a longtime listener of the Ruby Rogues podcast? Well, I have to say, we've got something special for you. Go sign up at rubyrogues.com/premium for $9 a month. You'll get access to ad-free episodes. That's right, ads-free. No ads. You'll also get access to a call every month where we discuss the upcoming podcast topics and allow you to suggest topics or guests for us so that we can go ahead and give you the show that you want. And finally, it's a terrific way to support the show. So go to rubyrogues.com/premium and sign up. This episode is sponsored by DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean is the hosting provider I use for devchat.tv. I also use it for my applications that manage the RSS feeds, scheduling, and sponsorships involved in delivering these shows. DigitalOcean is easy to use, has data centers all over the world, and provides terrific services including server hosting and object storage for delivering your web applications and assets quickly and easily. I use DigitalOcean because I love their interface, I get SSD storage for my servers, and their support replies quickly. So go check them out at DigitalOcean.com.
Thanks for the sidekick recommendation. I'll check that out. Regarding dependencies, it's actually pretty dependency-free in its core. What I did in order to support like a general, to generalize the gem was to enable configuration for each of these crucial parts. So, for example, you can choose to store the within the course of the transaction. You can define or configure TimeMeasure to store the data in Redis, which is what we do in Riskified. And you can use in-memory if you want to. And just as well, you can configure TimeMeasure to send events after the transaction finishes. You can take it and send it to New Relic, but that's up to you. Like, you choose how to use it. And the core thing is that it helps you track each method from each class in an organized fashion and an easy way to retrieve it in the end. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. How do you want to send it and visualize it? That's like totally up to the user.
Cool.
You wrote a couple of really cool articles, blog posts about your journey creating the TimeMeasure gem. And we'll have those in our show notes for anyone to check out. And it's great. It gets more into the technical details. I'd love for you to speak on the inspiration you got from the book Metaprogramming Ruby 2.0 and how that changed how you approached this gem.
Certainly. So as you mentioned, Paolo Perotta's book, Metaprogramming Ruby 2, was a major inspiration for me in creating TimeMeasure. And in general, it's a terrific book. And I've heard its name come up a few times in the past from several people, and makes me happy because I think it's like, if I had to choose one Ruby book, it would probably be this one, which like, it just talks about a pretty advanced topics in a way that is very accessible. It's very well written. The examples are terrific. And it's just fun to read. So Paolo Perotta actually delves into topics that are, I find, pretty advanced and pretty unique for Ruby. One of them is module prepend, which is something new that came to Ruby 2. Which allows developers to actually interfere in the way that the Ruby object model works. And this was the crucial and key thing for TimeMeasure to work and to be to be the thing that it came to be, because what it actually basically does is whenever you declare that you want to use it, it comes up first as the first listener to any method calls. That means that if I'm including time measure in my class and declaring that I want to track as some method, there actually going to be another class the time measure creates anonymously, and it's going to come up first upon the what is called the ancestors chain, without the user actually knowing that. And that I find that very Ruby, if you know what I mean. It's like, it's very like some of the developers that don't come from Ruby call this stuff black magic because they're afraid of that. But I think that when you know how to use that, it's an amazing power that it's just at the tip of your hands. And I would never find out about module prepend, I think. Maybe not never, but it was a really well introduction to the topic found in Paolo Perotta's book. And it's just very well explained. And it's kind of like when we discussed the problem, I was like, there is this very cool thing called module prepend. And my colleagues didn't really know about that at the time. And suddenly, like an insanely complex problem looks pretty simple when you just know you know your tools, you know, when you know the language pretty intimately, I call that.
Well, your blog post definitely got me to buy the book. It is in the mail. I can't wait to read it.
That's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
Do you find, it's the second edition of the book. Do you find that there are enough changes in Ruby since that edition that there are some things that are a little out of date, or is it pretty up to date?
Great question, because it inspires me to think about...
I'm so sorry to do that to you.
No, it's a great activity. I love doing that. Well, I think perhaps there are some new things that are that could be written in a new edition. I'm not quite. We can ask Paolo if perhaps it's a great question what he thinks. But I think a lot of as I read the book, a lot of core stuff came to Ruby after Ruby 1.8, like Ruby 1.9 and Ruby 2. It feels to me, I joined the Ruby community when it was Ruby 2.3, I think. I'm not quite sure. And in Riskified, we were using Ruby 2.2.4 at the time. So that's what I knew and that's what I had. And I think it feels to me like the major leaps are around Ruby 2, but I'm sure there are a lot of interesting stuff to write about, and like yield self from Ruby 2.5 is like super exciting for me. I'm not quite sure about metaprogramming in newer versions of Ruby, but it's a great thing to check. I need to check that.
Well, I'm still going to read it.
Definitely do that.
Yes. I bet there's a lot I can get out of it.
One thing that I noticed looking through your code is that you are a very elegant developer. Your code is very elegant. Your comments were exceptional. And me going through and being able to see pretty good explanations of why things are happening, especially when it doesn't provide a lot of context because it's pulling from other modules and whatnot. It's very impressive. So I just wanted to commend you on that.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And yeah, I think even if whatever topic you're working on, whether it's business, hardcore business logic or something very abstract, such as time measure, you can get a lot, you can achieve a lot with really being careful and about your method naming mostly. I think this is one of the things that I love about Ruby, that everything is like a query in a way. And it's like, it tempts you to phrase the questions, which are the methods, in like this very expressive way. And I love that. It reminds me of writing and of being poetic about stuff. And yeah, I tried to do that in Time Measure. I tried to give the best name I could to the classes and to the methods. So I'm really happy. It's like, if you're perusing the code and it's like something that you can grasp, it's I find that an achievement.
Code as poetry. May we all strive for that.
Yes, we should.
So you got to pull out the lute. And Catherine, you and you and Eliav need to do a lute duet. A luet, if you will.
A luet.
Oh, I love that. No, I'm unfortunately I'm not without my lute. I'm without my lute.
And I'm without my voice. I don't know where it went. Oh, yeah.
That's like a common singer excuse. Don't believe her.
Catherine gave a talk a couple of years ago on the parallel between musicians and developers. And so many times we have on the show developers who are also musicians, and it always kills me. I'm like, I really wish I could play an instrument or sing because I would be such a better developer.
Maybe, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's an interesting thesis. I think we talked about that before, that Catherine and I, that there are a lot of developers that are musicians. And I see this in, like, around me in Israel as well. I don't know if there's, like, it helps in a way, but it certainly is, like, it gives you a different perspective about life in general. And yeah, why not? Like, you can learn the ukulele. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. It's good for my small hands.
Yeah.
The guitar's a little big sometimes. Yeah, ukulele is so easy to learn, and it's relatively inexpensive to buy. So yeah, go buy a ukulele.
And it has a nice sound.
Yes, it does.
I've got
Eric is pulling out a guitar. Very nice.
I know. Yep.
Hey, that was an in-tune chord, so way to go, Eric.
I used an app.
Nice. I use an app to tune mine as well.
Yep.
Ah, technology.
Yep.
Good go.
Now I feel like we should do a song.
Catherine, you should lead that.
Is there a Time Measure song?
I certainly hope there is not.
Like, I mean, come on, that's a music joke built in there. Like, is Time Measure in, you know, 2-4 or 4-4 or 7-8? Sorry, right. For anyone who doesn't get that joke.
So
it's
lost.
It's a funny musician joke.
Yeah.
It's funny how funny you guys think it is.
It is pretty funny if you're like, if you're in the lingo.
I swear it's funny, Eric. Believe me.
No, I'm sure. Sounds funny to me. There's something funny going on, that's for sure.
We'll have to create a song for Time Measure. It can be your own little gem commercial. A jingle, if you will. A Time Measure jingle.
That scares me.
But make sure you do the use the voice from the original Hobbit cartoon. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No.
The Greatest Adventure. Remember that song? No. Oh, it's like, come on. Am I dating myself here? Oh, so the greatest adventure is yet to be said.
That was pretty good.
Right? I agree.
I'm sure that was funny for people who know the reference. Same as our Time Measure joke.
I am going to put that as my pick, that song.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that we haven't covered yet?
So I have a question for you. So what kind of results have you seen from Time Measure? So what impact has it made in your application? Were you able to go through and refactor some slower points in your application that are just now blazing fast? Because I assume with doing some kind of credit card validation, that needs to be a fairly immediate response back to the merchant services.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks. So I'll start by saying that I didn't say before that New Relic, as we use it, does offer like what they call the APM. And you can see how long it took any transaction to finish in general. This is like something that is very easy to know and to understand from New Relic. The problem was like understanding where within that transaction the problems lie. Yeah. And so we knew like that our transaction, like our main transactions take this and that time to finish in average. And when we started throwing time measure into the code base, which as I explained, like allowed us to do it very like easily and without fear of breaking anything or breaking too much. And we started throwing that in, and we threw the data to Insights, to New Relic Insights, and we start getting those graphs about areas in the code and methods, specific methods. And then we started like getting, wow, why is this taking so long? And you start like understanding that this top level method is like taking a lot of time, and you say, I'm going to like, it's comprised of like, say, four other methods. So we started time measuring these four methods and so et cetera. And then you get to the core of the problem and you find out it's like this weird, stupid caching technique that we've been using, which was very inefficient, or something that calls an external service twice for no reason, and all sorts of bizarre kind of problems that are very easy to miss. And suddenly it's like, you're just like getting this focus. Time measure helped us get focused on specific methods. And then like when we had these at hand, just assign developers within the sprint task, like we gave sprint tasks to specific developers to start like solving those problems. And usually, yes, you say it was a very short cycle, because when you find the problem, most of the time it's very easy to solve it. It's very easy to like get a huge impact, a huge improvement within a very like a day or two of work max usually. And yeah, so basically, yeah, we found out like the main offenders, as we love to call them. And then it was just kill it, like let it go. And we were pretty amazed at some of the stuff that we found, like, and you know, we take our code seriously, but sometimes the stuff that sneaks in is like surprising, and it's sometimes it's very hard, by the way. Sometimes the stuff that we found was like triggered major refactors that we say, oh, okay, that's a big job. But many, many times it was like these small things. And like, I dare you check your caching mechanism, because sometimes there was this thing with Rails cache that like exploded for some bizarre reason, and all sorts of like funny, I'd say, things that like just take a lot of time and for no reason.
Well, cool. It's always cool seeing the fruits of our labor, you know, come to fruition. So I'm definitely going to have to check out the time measure, Jim, to see, you know, where some slowness that I have in my app. I don't know about a New Relic paid instance, but, you know, maybe I can log ship it out to somewhere else.
I mean, basically, you can start with just like logging it out. Mm-hmm. It really depends on, like, it's up to you. You certainly don't have to use New Relic Insights, but you can save it to a DB if you want to, and like query it and just like analyze it in your own way, because analysis is like very personal. So this is the reason I kept this part easily configurable. I didn't want it to decide for anybody how to use the data that I'm helping in getting.
That's cool. Some assembly required. Like it.
It kind of works out of the box in a way, but to get the most out of it, you will need to configure it.
Yeah. Well, cool. Zay, do you have anything else? Anyone have any other questions?
I'm covered on my end, I think.
Awesome. Well, if people want to find you on the internet, on Twitter or GitHub, where do they go?
So I blog. I have a blog on Medium, which is a great platform. I love it. It's just my name, Eliav Lavie, at Medium. And if you Google it, it's probably the first thing to come up. If you Google my name, the Time Measure Jam is published under Riskified's GitHub account, which is just github.com/riskified. And you can, like, I encourage anybody to go up and look that up. And I'm sort of on Twitter. I don't do that a lot. It's not so big in Israel as it is in the States, but we do that a bit. So yeah, I'm on Twitter just with my name as well. And that's pretty much my social media appearance.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show. And I guess let's move on to some picks.
Do you run your own freelance business? Or maybe you're thinking about picking up some business on the side. Well, then you need FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the quickest and easiest way to get invoices out to your clients. It's easy to use. It works anywhere, available from any device, on the desktop, iPhone, iPad, Android, and all of your data is backed up and secure. And it makes it really easy to get organized and get paid. You'll be tracking time, logging expenses, and invoicing your clients in no time. You can also save time billing, freeing up several days per month to focus on the work that you love, and you get paid faster. FreshBooks customers are paid on average 5 days faster because there's a link on the invoice that says pay me now. And it's a great way to grow your business. Plus, FreshBooks is offering a 30-day trial. That's right, 30-day trial if you try them out. So go to gofreshbooks.com/devchat and enter devchat in the how did you hear about us section. Once again, for a 30-day trial, go to gofreshbooks.com/devchat and enter devchat in the how did you hear about us section.
David, do you have picks?
I do. I've got this Medium article I've just really been enjoying, just talking about our lives kind of as the hero's journey, thinking about whether or not we're doing well. And it's a good read. It's just let us see kind of how to keep working, you know, on problems. So make your life a story worth reading. I'll share that link.
Awesome. And Catherine?
Yeah. So my pick this week is a book that I read called Women in Tech, Take Your Career to the Next Level. It's by Tara Wheeler. And it's got some great practical advice from anything from building your first resume to building your freelance company and, you know, all the logistics that go into that. And as well as it has some inspiring stories. So I think it's really good for someone just getting into the career as well as for somebody that's taking their career to the next level. So I really recommend it.
Awesome. And Eric?
My pick today is golf. It helps old people feel athletic. I've been such an athlete lately. It's just been crazy, zipping around on my cart, standing up for 2 minutes while I hit a ball and then getting right back in that cart. I'm an athlete.
Yes. All right. And I'll jump in with the pick. So we went to Walmart the other day and I have 3 kids. So I'm always looking for some kind of activity to keep them busy. And we found these little sun catchers. You know, I hadn't done these since I was a little kid, but they're just these clear little plastic silhouettes that you can paint in and then put it on the window and it, you know, just shines in. So it's kind of like a poor man's stained glass, if you will. So got to see the kids' wonderful little projects there. And it was a lot of fun and very fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right? And Eliav, do you have picks?
Yeah. So my pick is the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which I've just visited. Mm. I just came back from a trip in the US and Canada, which was a lot of fun. And like in some mysterious way, my partner and I landed in Pittsburgh, and which was a very cool city. It's my first time there and I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And the thing is that I thought I don't like Andy Warhol. I like art a lot, but I thought I don't like Andy Warhol. And this museum just like proved to me that it's all a matter of how do you put stuff up and how do you make stuff look like. And suddenly like I'm like, oh my God, I love this. I want to see more of this guy. So yeah, it's a really cool place. Go see that if you're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for hosting me.
Yeah, and we will see you around.
Thank you, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.